Thank you. Good morning. All right, I'll take us to the other side of the country here. Just want to make sure my mouse is working here. My name is Nicole. I did some work on organic wheat production in Washington. Part of my PhD project was to finish up this 12-year-long project looking at if we can grow organic wheat viably in the Pacific Northwest, but specifically the dryland inland Pacific Northwest. So we don't have any irrigation in this region. We're just depending on rainfall. All right. So eastern Washington contains a region known as the Palouse, which is known for world record wheat yields in winter wheat up to 120 bushels per acre or greater. However, in spite of the incredible productivity potential of these soils, less than 1% of the nation's organic wheat is grown in Washington. To put that in context, let's look at our neighbors, Idaho and Montana, who produce 3.5 and 21% of the nation's wheat, organic wheat. So there seems to be a large disparity here between eastern Washington and really other close regions of other states where they're growing a lot more organic wheat. So part of this project was aimed at trying to identify why this disparity is present and how we might address it. A big reason we think that there's so much more wheat production in Montana compared to eastern Washington is the distribution of rainfall, especially during the summer. So you can see eastern Washington has a Mediterranean climate, which means that most of our rainfall occurs in the fall here and in spring, and that it really drops off and is pretty low during the summer, which leads to low soil moisture levels coupled with really high temperatures. So that really limits nitrogen mineralization during the summer. Organic growers in eastern Washington really struggle, particularly with getting enough available nitrogen in their soils for profitable wheat production. So a big part of the study was aimed at examining nitrogen fertility systems, their management systems, in an organic rotation. So we tried out looking at green manures first, leguminous green manures, particularly because there aren't a lot of sources of manure in the region. Confined livestock raising is rare. So we tried out here first fava beans, which accumulate a lot of biomass. They're a tropical legume. You can see the large size of these leaves here. So we thought they had a potential to produce a lot of biomass and that therefore a lot of nitrogen. However, we experienced pretty poor establishment and survival. They just weren't really well adapted to the climate in eastern Washington. Breeding efforts with fava beans are ongoing, so maybe we can give it a try in another couple years once we have some more locally adapted cultivars. However, then we went, instead of fava beans, we substituted winter peas in the rotation. You can see how much biomass the winter peas put on. They were able to capture a lot of that fall and spring distributed rainfall and allocate that into biomass much better than a spring-sown legume is. So we moved ahead with winter peas in the rotations. We settled on these rotations to evaluate yield and grain quality, along with a couple other measures. So here we looked at an alfalfa forage. This was hayed in years 2 and 3, but alfalfa establishment's difficult because of the low rainfall, so no cuttings occurred in the first year. But we did keep it in for 3 years, and it turned out to be pretty profitable in terms of alfalfa production. We grew winter wheat after that, and then we compared that to winter peas grown for grain manure followed by winter wheat. And then we also compared that to the System 3, where we applied 4,000 kilograms per hectare of poultry manure ahead of winter wheat planting and did the same thing for spring wheat. This winter wheat, spring wheat, winter peas is a pretty common rotation in the area, so we wanted to go ahead and try to produce that rotation organically, but with the poultry manure fertility input. We compared all those to a conventional System 4, which was a mimic of the rotation System 3, winter wheat, spring wheat, winter pea, except we used chemical fertilizer in that rotation. So we measured available N ahead of winter wheat planting and spring wheat planting in all years, and this is the available nitrogen levels averaged over all years nitrogen was measured. And so we see that N levels in our poultry manure system reached about 90 to 100 kilograms per hectare of bioavailable nitrogen. So we're really getting good fertility levels there for winter wheat establishment and a productive stand. And that was statistically comparable here to what we were achieving with our chemical fertilizers using standard fertilizer recommendations. However, we're still seeing significantly lower available nitrogen levels following alfalfa and our winter pea green manure in particular. If we compare that to our soil total N levels, which we measured with dry combustion analysis from the same samplings, we see that in comparison with the available N, we see alfalfa really was accumulating a lot of soil nitrogen. However, that tended to be most likely in recalcitrant unavailable forms. And that was, whereas manure was also accumulating statistically similar but empirically lower soil total nitrogen and was allocating more to that available pool. And our winter pea green manure is accumulating neither available nor soil total N. If we looked at the N partitioning, so this was the percent inorganic N over our soil total N, so how much is it putting into the available pool compared to the total pool? We see that manure is, the dynamics there with N are very similar to what's occurring with a chemical fertilizer compared to lower partitioning again in the available pools. And that really was borne out, those trends were borne out in our winter wheat yields. So you see, this is our winter wheat yield in our manured system. This line is the Whitman County average over those years, which includes some more marginal sites. So not all sites are producing at that 120 bushel per acre range, but this is sort of the county average. And we were able to produce organic wheat with yields comparable to conventional county averages for winter wheat. So that really demonstrated to us that there is a potential to produce high-yielding winter wheat in the region. However, if we look at spring wheat, mouse difficulties. If we look at spring wheat here, we're still much lower than what we were achieving with the conventional. And looking at what wheat yields were achieved following alfalfa and winter pea green manure, those are still much lower, which is what our nitrogen levels would suggest. But if we look, one promising trend was that pea green manure biomass here was correlated positively with winter wheat yield the following year, which tells me that if we can get winter pea varieties that put on much more biomass than the ones that we were currently using, we could actually possibly in the future be able to produce winter wheat yields that were much higher than what we were seeing in this study. We just need to devote some efforts to breeding wheat, which is very, or pea, which are very drought tolerant. I wanted to touch on, we also did a microbial study. So we were comparing microbial numbers of bacteria and fungi between organic system 3 and conventional system 4 here. So those were the exact same crop rotations, just different fertility inputs. And we saw significantly greater bacterial and fungal abundance in the organic compared to the conventional system. But most interestingly, we found that fungal and bacterial abundance was really strongly correlated with pea hay yield, which means that fostering these soil microbial diverse communities was leading to measurable increases in productivity. And we observed that the peas in the organic system looked a lot better and accumulated a lot more biomass than the conventional system. Part of the reason for that may have been this higher microbial number and diversity. So that's just something to keep in mind for the future. I'm really interested in drilling into specific plant microbial interactions and how that may help us increase productivity in an organic system. So in conclusion, we found that alfalfa and winter pea green manure at this time were not able to produce yields that were on par with conventional yields in the region, but like this chicken, poultry manure came out on top still. However, I'm optimistic about learning more about green manures and incorporating future cultivars and maybe even other species into these green manure phases of our organic rotations. So I was, in an effort to identify or get more nitrogen in our green manure phases, I looked at hairy vetch and sweet clover as possible alternatives for a winter pea green manure, and this is just 2 years of data so far, but I found 70 to 130 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen following hairy vetch ahead of winter wheat planting, and 60 to 100 kilograms per hectare following sweet clover, and that was compared to our average over many years found in the Boyd Farm study of 50 to 60 kilograms of N per hectare following winter pea. So maybe we need to be trying other green manures in this area. And Wahari vetch and sweet clover are pretty drought tolerant. So maybe that's what we should be focusing on in the future. And then I just wanted to mention real quickly grain protein. I mentioned that spring wheat yields in our organic poultry manured system, despite the high levels of fertility, were lower than the conventional spring wheat. And the same is true with our grain protein levels. Grain protein is important in a hard red spring wheat because that's what's used for bread making. And those are generally the most profitable market classes of wheat for an organic grower to sell. So we're really interested in getting this grain protein levels up. We need about 13.5% to 14% to make bread. And so you see we're hitting that well over a four-year average for conventional, but not for poultry manure. So in an effort to try to increase grain protein content in our organic hard red spring wheat, we decided to try intercropping as a way to maybe alter the nitrogen mineralization or N release curve and try something different from just applying poultry manure at planting. So a little different from what Rachel just presented, we actually planted in alternating rows of pea and cereal, and this is all spring pea and spring cereal because those are our hard red varieties. And we planted in alternating rows to give us the opportunity to inter-row cultivate in the wheat. And then those peas were terminated with sweep set between the rows. Again, the pea was just grown as a green manure. The idea was that instead of sacrificing a whole year of green manure production, or of crop production to grow green manure, can we grow them both at the same time? And then we were comparing that to applying our poultry manure as fertility. And we found that spring wheat grain protein levels for intercropping compared to no fertility addition at all boosted our spring wheat grain protein by 1.5 points. That's compared to the boost obtained from manure compared to no fertility at all of 0.6 points, percentage points. So we were actually seeing an advantage of intercropping over a poultry manure application. And then in evaluating the rotation effect, we found that intercropping had a greater effect on subsequent winter wheat yields at over 1,000 kilograms per hectare compared, again, to no fertility, compared to the manure, which only boosted our subsequent winter wheat yields by about 750 kilograms per hectare. So in conclusion, we found that many growers are operating large areas under certified organic production in the northwest region of the U.S., oftentimes greater than 1,000 kilograms per hectare, and they need more information made available to them. We found that organic wheat production can achieve production parity with our winter wheat conventional systems for yield, but not for hard red spring wheat yields or grain protein. We also found that achieving adequate available soil N levels using green manure alone still remains a large challenge, but a challenge that needs to be worked on in the future. We also found that intercropping, I believe, has a huge potential for solving some of these soil fertility problems and increasing our grain protein levels in our hard wheat. Thanks very much. I'm happy to take any questions. Go ahead. Yeah, that's a good question. The question was if we saw any trend in wheat yields over time. No, we did not. That was something I looked at because a lot of the literature says that wheat yields in organic systems will tend to increase after about 5 years as you build up the soil organic matter levels. I didn't observe that. Part of this 12 years was included the transition period, like a normal, so the first 3 years. This was conducted on certified ground. But I didn't observe any upward trend. Yeah. I did observe slight increases in soil carbon, especially during the transition period, which would tell us that we're building soil organic matter. But that hadn't been borne out with the yields. Go ahead.
How come you didn't see better performance in the alfalfa?
Yeah, the question was why we didn't observe higher available nitrogen levels of the wheat following alfalfa. Yeah. A big part of what I think was that nitrogen was not being mineralized very quickly. We removed all the hay, so what was left was were those really woody, recalcitrant tissues. And I think with the nitrogen mineralization that we have in the region, it just wasn't being released at a rate high enough to support winter wheat yields that were similar to conventional. However, I'll also mention, I didn't present any weed data here, but we also had problems with terminating the alfalfa organically. And the volunteer alfalfa was present in that winter wheat, and I think that also contributed to lower yields. Mm-hmm. We use qPCR for those. Right, right. So the fungal to bacterial ratio is, according to the literature, is driven by tillage, so presence or no tillage, usually, and also diversity of carbon substrates. So, meaning that a higher diversity of carbon substrates usually results in a higher bacterial to fungal, or fungal to bacterial ratio. And so I think we saw significant differences that I didn't present here in soil carbon content between our organic and our conventional systems. And I think that higher quantity and diversity of carbon substrates in our organic system was contributing, probably through the peas doing better and contributing more carbon residues to the soil in our organic system compared to our conventional, that was really driving that higher fungal to bacterial ratio. That's my hypothesis. Thank you.